This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It is on a Friday night, 90-minute edition, lightning round of Carlin at 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN on Twitter, at Chris Carlin, Instagram, that guy Carlin. By all means, you can watch the show on the video stream that is up and running at 98.7 ESPN's Twitter handle and on ESPN New York's Facebook page. What an interesting weekend the Yankees have ahead of them with the Tampa Rays in town. And look, we have been talking about this so much over the beginning part of the season. When is it appropriate to start actually worrying about what the team looks like for the season? Been through it so many times before when you understand that the Yankees are more likely than not going to snap out of it at some point, just based on history. That's where I like to base a lot of my thought process. History, what the team has been about. In this particular instance, I'm a little bit more concerned than I usually would be. And let's start with concern number one, the Rays. The Rays are a team, as has become the case over the last couple of years, that simply enjoys beating the daylights out of the Yankees, just pounding them into submission. And frankly, if not for a half inning last weekend, the Yankees would have been swept by the Rays in Tampa. But they weren't, and they deserve credit for getting out of town with earning a win. But this weekend, you started off by beginning it with an opener in Nick Nelson, followed by Michael King. Tomorrow, you get to face Tyler Glasnow. And then Sunday, it's Gerrit Cole. So you would hope that you could count Sunday as a win. But really, what's the bigger issue here? Well, against Tampa, it's the tempers. It's the fact that the Yankees did what they did last weekend, and they continue to say they did not hit four batters on purpose. And I think a couple of them were not on purpose, but I think a couple of them might have been. There might be still some really bad feelings from last season. So the Rays go, and they get warned last week for the rest of the series, and they can't do anything about it, even though they got hit four times, including one after the warning, where the umpires got together and decided, nah, that wasn't intentional. So do they expect any retaliation? Let's ask Aaron Boone.
I hope not. You know, obviously we hit a few of their guys, you know, unintentionally. But understand that, you know, that's frustrating being on the other side of that when you get guys hit. So I hope it's two teams out there, two really good teams that are going to be fighting in this division, you know, throughout the season. I don't mean fighting. I mean, you know, fighting it out on the field, baseball, that is. I hope it's two good teams playing quality baseball against each other. That's my hope, always is. I don't expect or hope nothing goes on beyond that.
I have to tell you, I'm kind of hoping that something does go on beyond that, because the Yankees need something. You know, earlier in the week, we were talking about the idea that they haven't played with any urgency. They haven't. They haven't played with any fire. They haven't. And Rougned Odor comes in last week, and you're hoping he's going to be the guy to spark a little something for your team. He hasn't. Maybe just coming together and finding a common ground of hatred of another team and getting into a brawl would be something that would actually get them going in the right direction. Now, you don't want to see anybody get hurt. I don't want to see anybody get hit in the head. I don't want to see any injuries come of it. But I'm not going to be broken up if I see the Yankees and Rays go at it and clear the benches and there's some pushing and shoving and some pretty angry people. You know why? Tensions need to run high for the Yankees. They have to run high. You have to get some emotion out of them. Because right now, there's nothing. There is nothing that you can visibly look at. And I'm not talking about rah-rah crap. I'm not talking about let's go crap. I'm just talking about you can tell when a team is playing with energy and when they're not. And right now, they're not. And they need something. And if it's this, so be it. Are you going to tell me there's never been a hockey team that's gotten fired up over a fight in a game and that's never helped propel them a little bit when maybe they didn't have a lot of energy? Are you going to tell me there isn't a manager that hasn't purposely gotten thrown out of a game because he was trying to do something to get his team inspired? This may be what the doctor ordered. If somebody gets drilled in the rib and the bench is clear, and they start getting after it, maybe it'll wake them up. What a novel idea that is. You actually have baseball to play. I'm not going back to the old days about, oh, you do this to us, we're going to do that to you, and all that crap. No, I'm just simply thinking about this team finding something. Something that will fire them up. And if that's what it is, great. Let's see it. Aaron Boone, why do you think these tensions are running so high?
Well, I think it's been two good teams kind of going after the same thing and playing a lot of games together, you know, and when you got two highly competitive teams, you know, you've had some situations where guys have got hit or knocked down or things like that. And when you're playing against each other as much as we are and both teams are good and competing for a lot, you know, sometimes it happens and it spills over and you kind of create that rivalry or whatever. But my hope, as it always is that it's about the baseball between the lines.
Well, that'd be nice. But right now, your team needs something to get going. Something. And there doesn't seem to be a whole lot else that's really inspiring them. You might think I'm advocating violence. No, I'm advocating two teams that go head-to-head, one of which has enjoyed pounding the other. And the Yankees have seemingly been listless in it. Some energy, some fire, something. Just whatever it has to be to find it, the Yankees need to find it. We hit it with Lonnie in Long Island to start us off tonight. Lonnie, what's going down, brother? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Chris? How are you, my man?
I'm great.
Oh, good. Yes, I got a couple of things with my Yankees, okay? The
Shoot.
Yankees, they need a couple of 300 hitters. I mean, we're not going to make it with just one guy doing that. And they need some pitching. They need another number one, okay? Now my Jets. I just played it.
Where are they getting, Lonnie? They're not getting another number one from anywhere. I mean, that's the problem right now.
Okay. And now on the Jets real quick, I want to just get on them. The Jets. I hope Zach Wilson is the guy, but hey, let's kick the tires on Justin Fields. Let's go see what this guy can do first.
Did anybody else notice that in the last 24 hours, and thanks for the call, Lonnie, Justin Fields all of a sudden became the betting favorite at the number 3 pick after he had his second pro day yesterday? And there's a picture there of him with Kyle Shanahan and a couple of the other offensive coaches from Ohio State or from San Francisco. All of a sudden, he's like minus 150 to be the third overall pick. I can't believe for a minute that San Francisco would have traded everything they did to move up to take Mac Jones. That's tough to take. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Let's hit it with Kevin in Bayville next. Kevin, what's going on?
Hi, Chris. Listen, I couldn't agree with you more about the Yankees. Somebody needs a good kick in the butt on this team. I never saw such lackadaisical, who cares attitude. Everybody talks about how tight this locker room is. I'm not so sure about that. looks to me like a lot of individuals trying to not hit the ball over. And we sign a contract. He just signs a contract to J.D.
D.J. Malone Mayhew.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just had a brain fart. You know, he signs a contract for $85 million over the next six and stuff, and, you know, he can't hit the ball out of the infield either. You know.
Give it time. Listen, if there's one guy I'm not worried about, it's D.J. LeMahieu. You know, I know people have been on him early. I don't worry about him in the least.
I guess. But, Chris, I am a Yankee fan. I don't have much tolerance.
I understand that, Kevin, and thanks for the call. And, frankly, it sounds like you don't have much tolerance, but not in that way, more in an alcohol kind of way. Listen, I don't really get too worked up about LeMahieu. He's going to be fine. Like, he's the one guy I can honestly look at the last couple of years and say, yeah, he'll deliver. That's not going to be an issue. There's still nobody I'd rather have up at the plate in a crucial spot, even right now when he's not going all that great. Still nobody I'd rather have at the plate. You know, as a talk show host, and it's a little bit trickier just to let you behind the curtain, doing it from home, because there's a little more of a half second delay between myself and the caller, so you have a lot more of those awkward moments. Two seconds of silence. I live for awkward, except for that. Like, I enjoy awkward moments. That is like, James in New Jersey is next. James, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
First time, long time. Good. How are you?
Good to have you with us.
So I was curious with all the information that's coming out about Lawrence. I know it's probably not realistic, but I was curious what your take would be if Lawrence ended up, or if the Jags ended up getting enough information that they decided to pass on Lawrence and it came as a shock to everyone on draft night. What would the Jets do? Would they start to panic and wonder what the Jags were able to dig up? Or would it still be a no-brainer for them to take Lawrence?
They would sprint to get the card in. They would sprint to get the card in.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to get the card in fast enough. And that's not going to happen. I mean, you're not going to find it. Well, I shouldn't say that. But it's unlikely that you're going to find anything on Lawrence that's really going to take you off it. I do have to tell you, the comments do bother me a hair, not nearly enough, based on all of his performance and the way he plays and how much his teammates love him and how clear that is. But the comments do bother me a little bit, just in that I could take or leave it. I don't really love that. You know, I do want to – you don't have to prove yourself to be nuts to me, but it does reek to me of a player – in Trevor Lawrence, who is trying to prove that he's going to be a different kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was just curious if the Jags ended up shocking everybody and passing on him, if it would cause the Jets to panic and wonder what the Jags were able to find on him and still go with, you know.
Yeah, this is not Kevin Costner in Draft Day.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, James. Yeah. I don't think that would be a problem. I think Joe Douglas, if that happened, might break the phone lunging for it to get the pick in. Marvin in the Bronx. Marvin, what's up, baby?
Hey, Chris, you know what this sounds like? Before you have a funeral, you have a viewing, all right? There's no obituary here yet. It's early. What's today's date, April 16th? You know, I love you, my man, but it's too early.
Marvin, I'm not saying it's over. I'm not trying to. I'm not getting. I'm not calling the funeral home yet on this. It's all I'm saying is it's not wrong to look at it and wonder how this team is currently constituted, seeing all the flaws so prominently displayed early in the year.
Okay, let the warm weather happen. Let some of the injuries.
They've been playing in Florida, Marvin. It was 90 the other day.
Yeah, but I'm saying it as a general all over the country. Okay, I don't panic. You know, not that I disregard the first 2 months, all right? And that's true because they come back to bite you and, you know, the proverbial what, all right? But I've been a Yankee fan over 50 years. I don't jump off the bridge when a few get, when this thing comes, as far as a rivalry, okay, I'll take you back. I'll take you back to 1988. The Mets beat up on the Dodgers, and I warned Mets fans: you're running into a hot pitcher, and this thing could turn around. The playoffs are a different story. We know how that story wound up.
Yeah, they ran into an incredibly hot pitcher in Hershiser, and an incredibly hot hitter in Gibson, and a guy in Socha who hit a home run at a remarkable time. And it's one of the great moments in baseball history, Marvin. Thanks for the call. But I don't think that's what we're talking about here. All I'm saying is you can't look at it and ignore the flaws that are so prominently out front right now. There's nothing wrong with looking at the flaws and saying, you know what? This may not be what we thought it was. And I point you all to what Bob Klapisch had in NJ.com earlier this week about the Yankees, that according to a source, Hal is concerned about what they're seeing, and that some in the Yankee front office felt like coming out of spring training, they were wondering if something was missing. Right now, what's missing for the Yankees is starting pitching, which has been awful, besides Gerrit Cole. We know that. And I do think there has been a lack of energy. I want to go to Matthew Wilson's comment. He is checking in over on the video stream at ESPN New York 98.7's Twitter handle and on ESPN New York's Facebook page. Chris, I have no problem with a little hate between two teams because sometimes you need to be knocked down to see if you can get up and do something about it. This is my point, Matthew, and I wholeheartedly agree. If there is a lack of energy in what the Yankees are doing at the moment, which there is getting in a skirmish to fire you up the worst thing in the world? It's not. It's part of me that kind of hopes they drill us tonight. Not in the head, obviously, not in the shoulder, obviously, but, you know, come up and in or come inside and miss us and some tempers flare. I'd love to see my team's energy start to get going. And here's the thing. It'll already be percolating because they expect it to come. The Rays didn't stop chatting about this during the course of the week. They're very much thinking about it. Mike Yonkers. Next, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, go.
Chris, how you doing, brother?
I'm great.
So I had a question. I actually called the Michael Kay show earlier, and I was on hold forever, and then my call dropped right before they got to me. So I'm going to ask you, because I think Mike might be a little bit too close to it to look at it objectively. But
I don't think that's true, but go ahead.
Well, you never know. But you know when the Yankees had traded for Pineda and Sonny Gray and all these guys. And Michael had mentioned it earlier that the Yankees haven't been great at developing pitchers that they acquire. So when Sonny Gray got traded, there was like an interview when he got to Cincinnati saying that the Yankees were obsessed with the slider. It wasn't a pitch he was comfortable throwing. It wasn't his best pitch. And they rammed it down his throat that it had to be his main pitch. And he felt that that's why he was getting shelled. So do you think that the Yankees might force the Yankee way and the way they do things on these studs from other teams, and it takes them out of, like, what they do best, and that's why maybe they don't always come here and, like, kick butt the way they did in other places? It's not so
no,
much not
because
being able to handle
I think
New York.
Sonny Gray, New York was not a great spot for Sonny Gray, and I don't think that was – it may have been part of it, but I don't think that was all of it. I think there is something to the idea that the Yankees – either don't develop it well in their system. I think that's true because you look at the history and that would tell you that's the case. And
yeah,
I also think, Pineda though, that you look at it and you say they don't have a great eye for it outside of the organization besides, you know, the obvious ones like Gerrit Cole.
True, true. Thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate you, man.
No problem, Mike. Have a good night, brother. I do believe that. I do believe there's something to it. I do believe there's something to the notion that the Yankees are not great at developing talent. I don't think it's jamming the Yankee way down guys' throats. Sonny Gray just didn't work here. Just didn't work here. Some guys don't work here, and he didn't. I'd be more upset about the fact that I haven't really seen anybody come up through this organization and become a really good starting pitcher. I mean, Severino, I guess, but he hasn't been on the field enough, has he? Jordan Montgomery? Meh. I mean, who else? What am I missing here with guys that have come to the big leagues and really made an impact in the last 15, 20 years? I mean, Chinming Wong had two great years, but that wasn't really come and develop. That wasn't anything like that. I mean, I'm trying to think of guys that really came up through the system and were good. Just not even great, just good, reliable. Maybe there's guys I'm forgetting. James in Spring Valley is next on 98.7 ESPN. James, what's going on?
Carlin, I love you guys, and I was just talking to Brian. I think we all need to relax. I mean, there's some cause for concern with the Yankees, but let's relax, man. It's 162 games, and we're all of a sudden we're in a panic attack. The sky is falling. Listen,
it's not a panic attack. It's nothing. There's a big difference between pointing out what flaws are and wondering if they're flaws that can be fixed, and setting the world on fire and saying the season's over. Nobody's doing that.
Well, look. The starting pitching outside of Cole is a concern, and I will honestly admit that it's a concern. And hitting with runners in scoring position, that is a concern. But I believe that they will correct it. I believe that that over the course of the season, they're going to get their mojo. They're going to find their fire. They're still going to win probably 95 to 99 plus wins. They're still going to win the American League. Now, the World Series, that's a different subject. But as far as this season, the Yankees are still going to the playoffs. It's fun. It's okay. Like, you know, I'd rather.
The only one I've definitively agreed with you so far is that they're still going to the playoffs. I would not guarantee 95 to 99. I would not. And I think most of the reason that I still think they're going to the playoff, James, and thanks for the call, is that the rest of the American League is just not very good. The league stinks. The Yankees have great talent, don't get me wrong, but they don't look like a team constructed to do enough of the right things to win games. I'm talking about hitting in the clutch. I'm talking about not just running your bullpen into the ground when it's a strength of your team. I'm talking about at least examining what's going on here early and trying to figure out if you're going to need a big shakeup. It's not a popular topic. I know that. I know that because of the reaction I've gotten sometimes on the air. But it just bears repeating, and it bears plenty of attention considering what it involves. As the Mets continue to just get absolutely destroyed in this sexual harassment ongoing story that comes from The Athletic, and the more women that come forward, there are a couple of things to understand. Number one, this is not just a Mets problem. This is it's a societal problem. It's a baseball problem. I've talked to a lot of female friends today in particular who have been in and around the game throughout their careers, and that's the first thing that really comes out. This is a bigger issue than just one team. But that's in no way excusing what's going on with the Mets. They're just first. Can we just all agree that Sandy Alderson bears a lot of responsibility here? You know, Sandy's an incredibly smart man. And Sandy knows he's an incredibly smart man. I'm not saying that he's arrogant, but Sandy knows he's smart. And oftentimes, when you're in a room and you know you're the smartest person in the room, you tend to act like that wherever you are. and in whatever situation is in front of you. So you feel like you are going to have the answers to whatever problems are sitting in front of you. And I find this to be the case particularly when it comes to speaking in front of the media on a controversial topic or on a topic where your team or your organization is getting accused of some wrongdoing, and you're at the front of it. Now, Sandy obviously didn't harass any women himself that we know of, but he has put the organization in a tough spot by hiring a lot of people that, frankly, have done just that, whether it's Jared Porter, whether it's Mickey Callaway, whether it's, you know, the allegations against David Newman, who I personally do know a little bit, never knew anything about anything like this, of a hostile work environment. But when this many women come forward, I tend to believe it. You know, these are a lot of allegations that have come together against one team recently. Now, there's going to be more. I know for a fact there's going to be more. I can't tell you where and when and who's involved, but I know they're working on more and more and more of this. But when you're the smartest person in the room and you feel like you have all the answers, you can get put in a very bad situation quickly by acting like that. And that's what Sandy did with a remarkably insensitive and, frankly, moronic response to the story. The latest story involved a guy named Joe DeVito, who was somebody that was in charge of social media and marketing and such with the Mets. It involved a woman named Holly Linvall, who was in charge of HR for the Mets. And the allegation against her is basically, don't bother going to her with any concerns that you have when it comes to this kind of thing, because she is just interested in making sure that ownership, the Wilpons at the time, were happy with her and would back them up before really doing anything about any kind of an allegation. Like if there was an allegation, the victim misconstrued it or something like that. There was Sandy bringing David Newman back, even after the objections of a few that brought it to him. There was the idea that Sandy didn't know about Mickey Callaway, which is getting more and more unbelievable every moment. As I've said to you before, there were always plenty of rumors about Mickey Callaway chasing women. Never anything along the harassment or other reporters' lines that I had heard, but clearly I'm never around the stadium, but I had heard rumors about Mickey Callaway being that kind of guy. But not specifically harassing women who worked for the organization or who were in the media, which has become pretty clear that that happened. So Sandy steps out in front today and makes these comments to The Athletic in response to what's going on. And if you didn't hear it, here's what it was. Quote, let me try and make a point as strongly as I can, okay? Not every instance involving men, women in the workplace is a capital offense, okay? Every time something happens, it doesn't mean somebody has to be fired. There are a lot of different intermediate steps that can be taken, and we've done that in a variety of different cases and have included capital punishment as a consequence in some cases, but not every case rises to the level of execution. And that's what, honestly, I think is happening with these articles referencing The Athletic. People are getting executed, including women, by the way, for reasons that are unjustifiable. Is there ever a statute of limitations on coverage of some of this stuff? Whoa. First of all, it's a defiant tone. Secondly, capital punishment and execution. I mean, it's not, you're missing the point completely. There is supposed to be an investigation and empathy for people making the accusation and showing them that you're taking it seriously and going after trying to find out what's going on, instead of talking about what all of the different forms of discipline you're taking are and getting frustrated, not saying that everybody should just be fired. That's not what this is about. That's not what this is about, Sandy. It's about figuring out what's going on with your team. And when you have continually now hired people that have not fostered a good work environment, have fostered a horrible work environment, and they've been here that long, that's a problem, and it's a big reflection on you. For instance, you think about this for a second, okay? This DeVito, this guy, Mike DeVito or Joe DeVito, I think his name is Joe. He had several text exchanges with a woman, a female employee. So I assume that means a female employee of his. And in these messages, there were comments like, well, at least I'm not as bad as Mickey, right? I'm still not as bad as Mickey. Yet, they didn't know about Mickey, I thought. Clearly, this woman had told him about Mickey. If he's saying to her, well, I'm not as bad as Mickey, right? I'm not him. Well, obviously, you knew. And yet, you took the woman who told you about Mickey Callaway to you as someone that was an underling and basically was coming to a superior, it seems, to inform you about what was going on. And you turned that into a situation of harassing that woman. So much so that you asked her to delete the text messages, as is in the story. Holy crap. The point is, most of the people involved here are Sandy guys. So at some point, the guy up top has got to bear responsibility. And if you're Steve Cohen, and this is just going to continue to come, how much longer can you deal with that? Is keeping Sandy worth it at that point? Sandy's screaming and yelling about everybody else getting fired. Dude, this is a reflection on you. I don't like seeing people lose their jobs. This is a major reflection on you. And when you just come out and have a defiant attitude about it and basically say, not everybody deserves to be fired on the spot for everything that happens between men and women. Yeah, nobody was saying that, dude. What they're saying is this environment that has been created that started under the Wilpons and guys that you brought in that I don't think Sandy brought in knowing all this stuff was definitively going on, but I don't know how you didn't know about Mickey Callaway. As all of this is going on, you're the one that hired them. So you have to bear responsibility as opposed to just firing back and sounding annoyed about it. I've seen this many times. The guy that knows he's the smartest person in the room gets caught up in that and gets annoyed that he's getting questioned about stuff like this continually and at some point is just responding in a way that is a general aggressive and aggravation-laden way. As if to say, we know what we're doing. Step off. We've got this handled. We're working on it. You know, are you guys done covering us when it comes to this? Yeah, that's not how you respond to this. That's not what you do. And guys, listen, I know that it's not a topic that anybody likes to talk about or anybody wants to hear about because, you know, men... a lot of our audience feels so attacked because of all this stuff that's happening across society right now. I get it. Problem is, guys, had it pretty good for, 5,000 years. So when it comes to this, you're either doing the right things or you're not. I have to be honest, it makes me look back at my interactions with people that I've worked with. Have I always been as appropriate? It makes me be reflective about it. Really looking back and saying, did I ever do anything? I know I sent text messages, just not to women. If you know, you know. But you get the point. It should just be a little bit of reflection in this. That's all. And I don't mean to lecture. I really don't. Just every time I continue to see this stuff, I just realize that until men care about it, it doesn't change. So you guys need to start caring about it. And at the very least, recognize that, yeah, some guys are really getting blown up over this. So maybe, just maybe, you need to pay attention to that. And you need to alter behavior. It genuinely has me looking at myself like, have I always done the right thing in this regard? 800-919-3776. All right, open lines. Let's go. Yankee talk if you want. Good start. Down 2-0 in the first inning. Nick Nelson, the opener, has pretty much opened up the early floodgates. Runner on third and one out. Spike in Jersey, well, actually in St. Pete, has been patient. Spike, what's going on, dude? How are you?
I'm always patient for you. I miss it when you're not on, so that's why I kind of pester you to find out. I know it's a very fluid schedule with the national plugins and changing times, but I got you now, so I'm going to throw some stuff at you. The Mets situation, you piqued my interest on it. Sandy's an interesting guy with an interesting background, going through health problems, all that stuff aside, the smoke, this fire, why they hired the guy back, I don't know, but let's let it play out a little bit. You know, it's there's a lot of stuff going on. I just don't like the tenor of it, and I'm sure you agree with me. Now, I'm in St. Petersburg. So I get in the lay of the land, and I went to Dunedin, and the Toronto Raptors, I'll probably butcher the pronunciation of this, they play in the arena in Tampa called AMALIE.
It used to be the St. Pete Forum, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm in the Publix, and I'm a basketball nut, like you're a baseball nut, and I see a guy, and... you know me, gregarious, and I'm not afraid to say hello to anybody. I walk right up to this guy, and I go, how's the team doing? He says, you know who I am? I said, yeah, 8th draft pick, Stanley Johnson, Arizona. Chances of me running into the guy? And the guy, he's the friendliest guy in the world. You know, he says, how did you know who I was? I said, well, I'm a basketball nut job, you know? And he says, well, we're having a tough year. It's tough. And I asked him a question. I said, I hope you don't think I'm stepping over the boundaries, but I'm really curious. I feel for you guys. I happened to go to see the Toronto baseball team in Dunedin, and everyone's displaced. I don't need any personal information. I wouldn't cross that line, but is it tough on the whole team? And it's kind of, his face, you could see it, you know? It's tough. It's really tough. And then he mentioned to me, I said, could you corroborate this? And I asked Murray Lipson, I think it ain't my business. And in Canada, there's such a dearth of vaccines. He said a relative has got the first shot and has to wait 4 months for the second shot.
I heard that same thing about what was going on up there, too, that was going on. Yeah, that people who got the first shot in Canada had to wait for a really long time.
Yeah, and the reason is a monetary reason. You know, it's always money. George Young, my favorite all-time sports talk guest. I don't know how you felt about it. I know you were involved. Mm-hmm. My favorite.
And that was always a comment. And thanks for the call, Spike. Whenever they tell you it's not about the money, it's about the money. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Open lines. Let's hit them. Anthony Bridgewater up next. Right here. Tony, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Hey, Colin. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
First off, before I talk about Sandy, I just want to make a really quick Rutgers point, real quick.
Yeah.
What a recruiting class Shiano's doing, my God, right now. He's top seven right now. Anyone who said he can't recruit or he's not going to turn the program around, my God, he's just getting guys left and right. It's insane right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, listen, they're doing a phenomenal job right now, and there's a lot to be excited about. I don't want to say, like, I'm always cautiously optimistic until guys put their names on paper. You know what I mean? Like, you can commit, and then we'll see what happens. But
I got you.
I'll give you a little bit of news in case you didn't see it just in the last few minutes. Art Sitkowski is transferring.
I was just going to say that. I saw that, too. I know. You know what, though? I kind of saw that coming.
I figured, too. I have to tell you, as rough as it's been for him, that kid has been such a tremendous kid. He works so hard, and it hasn't worked out for him here, and I hope it does somewhere else. He is a really super nice guy.
Yeah, I just don't think that he fits the style of the new of what they're trying to do. That's the biggest thing, I feel like.
But yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
Real quick about Sandy, I agree with you. Listen, it all points to him. I mean, you can't keep getting rid of the low guys and saying, and then go to Sandy and says, "Oh, we'll investigate." Fact of the matter is, his name keeps coming up. He's the guy. You bring him back. He's the guy. He rehires. I mean, I know it's like going to be a black guy on Cohen, you know, his first major hire. But, you know, I'm sure he's done this many times of having to fire a major guy in all of his corporation and his businesses. But, you know, you hate to say it because everyone loves Sandy, good guy and everything. But I just think Sandy's, you know, he's the old-fashioned guy. I don't think he realizes the significance of what these things mean now. That's the thing.
I think what you're saying is accurate. But as an old-fashioned guy, like, Sandy's a military guy. That's why you hear phrases like capital punishment and execution. Sandy's a military guy. And that's one of those things where it's not just toughen up and deal with it, but these are not issues that Sandy is remotely familiar in dealing with in the past. Not remotely, you know? And so when that's the case, Anthony, him getting angry as he did about it and defensive as he did about it is just not understanding the situation and the gravity of it, and that's problematic.
But then I take it the other way and just think of it this way. I'm like, if you know, if a woman's complaining about this, like, he can't understand that significance. Like, you try to just think of it rationally. I don't care how old you are. Like, and that's the other thing. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Christian, I love listening to you, man. Have a great night.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I know what you mean. I just think, don't worry about rationally or any of that stuff. It's just, you got to recognize it. And it might be annoying to you that they continue to chase down the story. But let me ask you something. Do you think it's the Athletic definitively going and continuing to pursue this story more and more and more? Or do you think at some point maybe some people who were victims are seeing these stories come up and say, yeah, maybe I should step forward and talk about this? We think that's possible? That could be part of it too. Dwayne, he is in Orange. Dwayne, what's going on, buddy?
Carlin, thank you, man, for getting me on here. First time call, love to be on. I'm watching my Yanks right now. We're down 2-0 to the Rays. It's crazy that we had so much expectations. Well, I didn't, but a lot of people had expectations for the Yankees. And to me, they didn't make a lot of noise in the free agency. We didn't get any good pitching. We didn't get any hitters. You know, we're looking at our best hitter right now is hitting 308, and after that, it's a huge drop off into the twos, and we got Stan in the ones. What else is there for the Yankees to do? What can we do? Is there any moves you think, Carlin, that they could make to improve on this roster to get better? I'm beside myself. I really had, you know, high expectations for them this year. I know it's still early, but this one hurts this year. It really does hurt.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think there are problems with the construction of the roster in that most of these guys are there to hit home runs. And, you know, LeMahieu coming back was the best thing that they could have done, but they needed to do some other things. They needed more situational guys, and I'm not talking about small ball and all that stuff, okay? I'm talking about guys who can just get clutch hits. Guys who are clutch players, that's all. You know, the guys who may not go out there and put up 85 RBIs, but guys who you know are going to get the hit in a clutch situation. You know, the Yankees, LeMahieu in a lot of ways is the closest thing that they have to Derek Jeter. He really is.
Yes.
I'm not saying that he is Jeter, because it's obviously a different situation, but you need more people like that who are just not swinging and missing at everything and striking out all the time. I mean, there goes Judge down swinging. I mean, what a shock. You know, this is just what they are right now. And it's feast or famine. And I know that it has served them okay the last couple of years, but the largest problem of all is the belief, the blind faith that exists in these analytics and the idea that you cannot work past that, that you can't see past what the numbers are telling you. That's stupid to me. That's just stupid. Because if you've watched the last couple of years and this shift that the Yankees have had, that is, let's just go out there, win as many games as we can, get to the postseason, and let's just let it happen. As opposed to, we win the World Series at all costs. Like, the mentality has shifted. Because they now believe the playoffs to be just such a crapshoot. Like, that was never a Yankee. When did you hear that during the stretch when the Yankees won their championships between 96 and 2000? When did you hear that? You didn't. Didn't hear it in 2009 either. It's stunning that that is the case. But that is the case. The Giants draft may not be headed where you think. Eddie is in Rockland County. Eddie, what's up, baby?
What's up, Big Chris?
You know.
Well, listen, question on the Giants. Before I get to my question, were you a Mike guy or a Chris guy?
You know, at different times, I would like to say that for the most part, I was both throughout the entire time that I was working with them. The trick was to make them each think that you were their guy. That was the trick.
All right.
Okay. So I balanced it pretty well.
Right. Okay. On the Giants, you know, Maris said pretty much this year he wants to see something. And I don't think with the extra game, 7-10 is going to get a Gettleman's job. So if you're Gettleman, right, would you lean on the future draft, like next year's draft, and, you know, move some, like the first round pick for something this year to make something happen? Because I need to see the Giants trade down a little bit, pick up an extra second, and at least walk away with a top offensive guard, right guard, and a center to get this offense going. And then whatever they want to do on defense.
So are you asking me if I would trade next year's first-round pick to do something extra this year?
Yeah, because your job is on the line. Because his job's on the line. If it's 7-10, he's out of here.
Yeah, I would say that when I look at it, it's one of those things where I just think if you're trying to get better and win now and your job could be on the line, I don't think the owner is going to let you go do something drastic to try to win now. And if that makes sense, like, I don't think they're going to get all of those things.
Okay, one thing, but there's a potential big bomb that can happen. If Barkley doesn't play well and he doesn't look 100% from that injury, they're not re-signing him. If Daniel Jones doesn't look good, they might have to reset at him too. That means then Gettleman's definitely gone. So there you go. If he doesn't get this ship running at least 8 wins this year, I think it's a big problem.
Listen, I think if they don't, John didn't want to say it, and thanks for the call. If they don't go to the playoffs, I think he's going to be gone. I think that's just the way it is. I think he's going to be gone. He didn't want to definitively say that because you never know what happens, but I would believe that to be the case. And with real justification. Now, what I was talking about earlier when I teased about the draft was something that he kind of hit on there. Like, we've talked an awful lot about the Giants drafting an edge rusher, about the Giants drafting a wide receiver at number 11. Don't be shocked about the interior offensive line. I've heard a lot about the guard from USC, Vera Tucker. Elijah Vera Tucker, I think his name is. Now, admittedly, I haven't seen him play enough to know how good he is, but he's ranked as a top 15 prospect. Don't be surprised if they go in that direction. Because even though they have Solder, Solder's only going to be around for a year, and it's going to give them good depth at the position for the coming year. So you have to look at that. If he is the best player available, and they don't want to add another receiver after bringing in Galladay, then I absolutely believe they're more likely to head in that direction, especially because this does not appear to be a great draft for pass rushers. I saw one mock draft that included them picking Gregory Rosso from Miami, who opted out this past year, in the second round. And he was a guy that was thought to be maybe a mid-first round guy that maybe they'd even look at early. I don't know. I think there's a strong chance they could pick an interior offensive lineman that high. It would not surprise me at all. Some of the comments over on the video stream at 98.7 ESPN New York's Twitter feed and ESPN New York's Facebook page. Brian O'Keefe wants to know, do you read these? If so, could you beat up Gio? Yeah, listen, a lot was made about nothing with that whole thing. But yeah, I could pound Gio. I just chose not to that day. And please come back to the fan. No, not going to happen. I'm very happy here. Howard Lieberman, are you waiting for Richard? Howard brings up an excellent point. Guys, I'm a little bit concerned about Richard. We have not heard from him in what feels like a couple of weeks. And I'm hoping all is okay with our friend Richard from Manhattan. Have not heard him anywhere else on the station. I should check in with some of the other hosts to see if they have. Jacob, Brian, back in the studio. Guys, have we heard from Richard at all on any of the other shows with Larry later on? Anything, and Larry and Gordon? We heard from Richard at all lately. Jacob, Brian, what do you think? Have we heard from Richard at all?
Yeah, you're up. We have not heard from Richard.
We have not heard from Richard.
I am a little concerned, too, because sometimes he calls Larry and gives him a 1965 stat, but I have not heard from him.
Yeah, hopefully he checks in soon.
I know. I'm a little worried.
We love Richard.
We do love Richard.
As much as we joke around with Richard, we do love Richard very much. We do.
He's like fun. A gag in our show because, you know, we have that alarm for him, the purge alarm, and we need to hear Richard.
Yeah, we haven't been able to sound the alarm in a while, so hopefully we
hear
from
Richard.
Should
we sound it just in case?
No. They don't want to do that because it's Richard's thing. It's,
yeah, I know.
It means Richard's here, and he's not here, and we haven't heard from
him.
And
I know Richard doesn't have a Twitter because I know he told me that, so.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, hopefully we hear from him soon.
If anybody is Richard's neighbor in Manhattan, please let us know.
Yeah.
Call the station, because I'm a little worried about him.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Gaffney on Twitter checking in with an excellent point here. No matter if I see a horse-sized duck or 1,000 duck-sized horses or 100, I'm immediately going to blame it on a mescaline/acid flashback. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But I'm with Canty. I can deal with 100 of the duck-sized horses. I don't even know how a horse would attack you if it's only the size of a duck. Even if there are 100 of them. Like, I can walk through that. A horse-sized duck? Ugh. That thing would kill me. Francesca in Freeport is next, 98.7 ESPN. Francesca, what's going on?
I wanted to say hello and to let you know I'm a big fan. I got to know you because of the Michael Kay Show.
Oh, okay. Appreciate that.
I just love your voice. I think you have a great sense of humor. And I thought your critique of Peter Rosenberg was spot on.
Yes, okay. Do the honorable thing. Resign right now.
Yes, but here's the thing. I didn't think you really owed him an apology, but you were a class act to do so. I couldn't have... You said it perfectly. I mean, Don McGregor was unbelievable calling the play-by-play. And Michael's my love. I adore Michael Kay.
Oh, we're talking about the Yankee game from a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Yes.
I was busting Peter's chops about that more than anything. Like, I wasn't totally serious about it.
You're a class act. You apologized, but you were really, really spot on. I said, my God, he's thinking my thoughts. But
if I were you, I would be alarmed by that we're thinking very alike.
Well, I don't care. I'll go with you. I go down with you, Ben, you know?
I appreciate it, Francesca.
I'm following.
Oh.
Okay?
Hey, listen.
You're great, great.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I just wanted to say you're really a great broadcaster, and I enjoy your show. I'm so fortunate to get through. I can't believe it.
Francesca, I thank you for calling. I appreciate it very much, and for the kind words. Thanks for checking in. And listen, you know, when people want to say those kinds of things about me, they can have all night. It's your forum, people. Listen, you can say all the nice things you want about me, okay? God delivered. I just signed for this. You know what I'm saying? Sam in the Bronx is next, 98.7 ESPN. Sam, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? How you doing, man? Just want to say, like, wow, like, Francesca, I'm a big fan of the show. I think you're an amazing broadcaster. And I want to talk about this Giants expectation of the season record. I feel, as a fan, expectation every year for every team is to reach a Super Bowl. You want to get in the playoffs, you want to go deep. But realistically, I feel we can get the 10-win threshold. We can make it there. But are we going to go in far in the playoffs? You know, that's the big question there. Like, what are we going to do? Like, what are the real expectations? Dave Gettleman is doing a great job. But, I mean, as a Giants fan, we're kind of like lightning in a bottle team. Like, you know, when you go look at the Eli Manning teams, we got to the playoffs and we went deep. Like, every year, nobody expects the Giants to win the Super Bowl. So we're going to be that team. We're going to come out of nowhere, and we're going to shock people. Like,
boy, I listen, it's possible that the Giants could have a better year this coming year. And thanks for the call. I think it's a terrible division. I think the Cowboys are overrated. But I don't think the Giants are quite there yet. I'm not convinced of it yet. The Galladay signing, I absolutely loved. Absolutely loved it. And I absolutely love the corner they brought in, too. I think that they've got a chance to be better this season. They've got a chance. What's his name? Adoree Jackson. His name escaped me for a minute. Jimmy in Westchester. James, what's going down, brother? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Chris? This is my first time calling in. I just want to say I really like your show. I didn't like you at first so much, but you grew on me, man. I'm locked
in. Yeah, kind of like my mother. I get it.
Hey, I just want to say I think it's a great time to be a New York sports fan, man. New York Knicks are killing it. Brooklyn Nets are the biggest team in the NBA. The Mets are good. The Yankees are good. You know, everybody's doing good. I just want to hear your take on it, how great it is to be a New York sports fan right about now.
Well, I mean, first of all, we're due. That's number one. It's been a while, you know, in every facet. I feel like with the Nets, the thing is that the people are not really buying into the full belief or love of the Nets, I should say. Not belief, but love. Because they're always going to be the second team. The Knicks being better has been a much better development than the Nets turning into a superpower.
Yeah.
Well, I think that helps. So, listen, the Yankees are not going to win 74 games this year. They're going to be better than they are. I just look at some of the things that are clear flaws about them, and I'm concerned by that. But the Mets are absolutely a better team, and they're more fun to watch than they have been in a long time.
Oh, yeah. Knicks, too. Great to actually sit down and be excited to watch a Knicks game and watch them grit it out, play old-school defense with a coach that never looks happy, even when they're up by 20 points. You know,
hey, Jimmy, look, I was very skeptical at the beginning of the year, and thanks for the call, at the Knicks start. I didn't think that it was going to be anything more than, you know, maybe a 28-29 win team. But they have been fantastic, and they have been even entertaining for a team that is lacking in great talent. But it's been so good to see what Randall has done, and it's been so good to see what RJ Barrett is becoming. That's what's really got me excited. A guy that the Knicks drafted very high is becoming a star player. You can see it. It's there in front of you. And yeah, he has some off nights. That's going to happen. He may not be a superstar, but he's becoming a star. He can be somebody's Robin. I fully believe that. I don't know that he's ever going to be Batman. I just love the fact that you look across the board and every single aspect of RJ Barrett's game this year has improved. That's about as good as it gets. And that's what you need to be excited about. All right, that does it for me. We will see you on Sunday afternoon, late afternoon after the game, up until 6. Full show Monday night. 3.5 hours. I don't know what to do with myself. Great job out of Brian Mungia, Jacob Perry. Stay handsome. Carlin out.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.